And, well, let's get right to it. Best-selling and award-winning author and musician Dave Bedini, he's traveled this country from sea to shining sea, and over the course of 12 books, has shown us more than a little bit about ourselves. His 13th book, Midnight Light, A Personal Journey to the North, published by McClellan Stewart, takes us to a place that very few of us have ever been. I mean, way north, all the way to the Northwest Territories. And Dave Bedini joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, guys. It's nice to be here.
Now, for most people here in Southern Ontario, I mean, the concept of going north is a couple-hour drive up to cottage country, where things are, you know, apart from the scenery, everything is still pretty much the same. But
you can get a latte.
Exactly.
And but, some fancy cheese and, now.
All the good stuff.
That's right.
But going to the Northwest Territories, I mean, this is almost like going to another planet in some ways.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the terrain especially is very, you know, outer planetary. I mean, honestly, the people are people,
yeah.
I think, the same pretty much everywhere. And where I was, Yellowknife is actually an amazing collection of people from all across the country and Dene Nation, who are right across the Northwest Territories. But yeah, you head up to, I was in Tuktoyaktuk for a bit, playing some softball and jamming with some dudes up there and hanging out and looking for beluga whales on the Arctic Ocean. And that is wild too, because it's a hamlet. It's a series of sort of peninsula that stretch out into the Arctic Ocean, and that land is actually being bitten away, so it's always kind of changing.
Right.
But that was really something, you know, to stand there and have most of the entire country at my back, and to have that sea kind of roaring. And actually, I went to Tuktoyaktuk up the Mackenzie River, the Daycho. We traveled by boat up the Daycho, and we were vaulted out into the expanse of the Arctic Ocean on our way to Tuktoyaktuk. And that, you know, 25-minute boat ride was really quite harrowing. It was beautiful. It was sad. It was everything. And I couldn't help but lose my, you know, heart to it.
Yeah.
Being in a place, feeling so adrift from everything I know about my country.
Exactly. What time of year was this?
Yeah, I admit early on that not really like a winter adventure guy. So this was the pure heart of summer. I was there actually. That's not entirely true. I was there from May till September, and then I went back 7 times.
Wow!
Over the course of the winter, every season, really.
It is really unbelievable. And while you were there, I mean, you got a gig at the local paper, the Yellowknifer, and that is like perfect in a Clark Kent Superman kind of way, because being at a newspaper, you get a pulse for what's going on around.
You know a city too, like from a very particular eye line, right? You see the city from the ground up. You know, I could have either volunteered to you know to work as a firefighter. I could have worked with the homeless. Or it could have been a reporter. I think those are the three kind of levels upon which you, and a police force obviously as well, which you see the city. And the Yellowknifer was the one, you know, place that would have me, right? So I had never really been a reporter before. I'd always written books and had written columns, but had never done that kind of work. And so they were more than happy to let me sit at their elbow and go out and, you know, cover the double homicide and the chemical spills and the Kentucky Fried Chicken closed while
that
I was there.
That was a tragic story.
Oh, no,
that was
no.
A great chapter. I love that. How like you broke that and everyone was like, "Oh my god!"
Well, yeah, the KFC was vital to the communities. You know, the Dene communities. People from that come in by snow machine and they come in by float plane and they buy. Dozens of buckets of chicken, and they take them up to the communities and freeze them. Whenever anybody gets married or there's a social, they eat chicken. So it was a massive thing, not having that around anymore and stuff. So it was great to sort of know the city at that level for sure.
And you got to know it on a really personal level too through your. I don't want to spoil it for anyone reading it, but your interactions with homeless people, with natives, with the justice system up there?
Yeah. The RCMP, the Justice Department, homeless life, Dene Nation, all of those things are very, very present, pronounced in most small places. But because this is a capital city of Canada, those foundations are, you know, important to the territory, and they loom large. They're nothing about Yellowknife is hidden. It's a city that's really revealed, you know, in warts and all, good and bad. It's very easy to get to know the city and get to know the people who are in that city, and the people who run the city as well. You know, when there's one pub called the Black Knight, which is across from the courthouse. So you'll have people who have just gotten in or out of jail. You'll have the mayor will be drinking there, all the representatives from the territorial government, all the reporters from the Yellowknifer, all of the arts people in the arts community. They're all there at the same time drinking together. And a small northern place sort of forces people together. There can be tension that can come out of that. But for me, it was like walking into a living novel, all of these characters. Mm. And they were easily accessible to me, and especially those of Dene Nation. I was worried, you know, like as a... You know, as a white suburban dude, you know, I live in the city now, but I grew up there, about, you know, how I would learn about Indigenous life. And I realized that I would learn about Indigenous life by talking to that guy or talking to her over. People were around, and more, and Dene were more than happy to take me through that. And as a result, I learned a lot about the legacy, and I learned a lot about culture, history, and tradition, Indigenous life in the North and really throughout Canada.
As someone, I mean, the farthest north I've ever gone is Edmonton. What is the one thing that you think that, you know, particularly here in our listening audience, a Southern Ontario person would take away from your book? What do you think is the most important thing?
Well,
sorry to put you on the spot.
No, I mean, I really do think in the north the most important thing is Indigenous life and Indigenous, the presence of Indigenous culture. And the really kind of the strength and self-determination of Indigenous culture. I was up on Great Bear Lake in Deline, which was home to the first ever Aboriginal self-government in Canada. And they're guardians of Great Bear Lake, which is the third largest freshwater lake in the world.
Right.
And is the last pure freshwater lake in North America.
Yeah, no pollution.
They've become guardians of this body of water. And actually there's four spiritual leaders who have sort of governed life in Deline over the years, and they've prophesied that the world will come to Great Bear Lake at some point because there will be no other fresh water left in the world. And so their whole attitude is so beautiful and they're so altruistic that they want to make sure that this body of water is maintained for us. Mm-hmm. And there's just incredibly beautiful spirit. And I love my time up there.
Now, I would be remiss, because I think this is a direct response to your time at the Yellowknife, for a paper that didn't rely on, you know, Canadian Press, AP, anything like that. But you have come back and you have founded your own newspaper, the West End Phoenix.
Mm. Yeah, it was...
Same vibe to it.
Totally the same. Yeah, same vibe, same model as the Yellowknife. It was interesting to go to a place where newspapers still kind of worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where people weren't worried about their digital presence. In fact, the Yellowknife has no digital presence. And they're built on two important points within their manifesto. One is no wire service, and if it didn't happen in Yellowknife, it did not happen.
Yeah.
So they report very, very, like, you know, we use the term hyperlocal a lot now. They were kind of hyperlocal before that term was even invented.
Right.
And print. The internet sucks. You can't get the poster, the Globe up there. They're really quite removed from any other kind of media presence. So there's an incredible bond between people who read the Yellowknifer and the paper itself. And we tried to establish that model at the West End Phoenix, which is we're going to be a year old this week and celebrating our second anniversary. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's been great to apply that model and to see that people will still respond to a print newspaper that's good and that cares about its readers and where we
live. What's the population in the Yellowknife?
Yeah, it's 20,000. So there's 40,000 across the NWT. Mm. So 20,000 is kind of a nice size of a city to kind of stick handle through in terms of getting to know.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fascinating story. It is another incredible addition to your library. I mean, how do you find time to sleep? I mean, between the West End Phoenix, writing books,
I sleep okay. It's just when I'm awake, I guess I'm kind of always working. But it's fun. Listen, I've been grateful and been given the privilege of being able to make art for a living. And I think I'd be a fool to kind of mortgage that opportunity. And listen, Canada... One of the beautiful things about our country is so much of it is still kind of undiscovered. There's always a story kind of waiting to tell, just because we're so enormous, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's our job as, you know, artists to go out there into the crevices, into the corners, and pull up the stories of people you know, that we can share with everybody else.
Well, I hope you continue to keep sharing and exploring those crevices.
Thanks, buddy. Really nice, guys.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Yes,
awesome to be here. Cheers.
Been speaking with Dave Bedini. His new book, Midnight Light, A Personal Journey to the North, published by McClellan & Stewart, is out now. And I urge you, my friends, run. Don't walk to your favorite book establishment and pick this up. It is well worth it.